Welcome back to Sports Talk on the Sports Talk Media Network. You can reach the guys with the South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number, 888-898-2525. That's 888-898-2525. Now back to Phil, Chris, and Pat with the second hour of Sports Talk on the Sports Talk Media Network.
Okay, we continue live from the Bridgestone Arena in downtown Nashville here at the SEC Tournament, where we've got a reason to stay around because South Carolina is staying around. And Lamont Paris, Paris in Nashville. This is the Lamont Paris Invitational today. The man gets a huge contract extension, and his team comes out and plays good basketball. That was not a hand-me-a-win performance by the Gamecocks. Arkansas didn't hand it. Gamecocks went out and took that win from the Razorbacks today, beat them twice this season, beat them in Fayetteville, and beat them soundly here in Nashville. So they advance to play Auburn tomorrow. Let's get more thoughts on this tournament, other tournaments around the country. We welcome in Mike Morgan, Morgan on the Move. And he's brought to you by Gary Patterson. For 35 years, Gary has been serving the real estate needs from Lugoff to Lexington, Columbia, to Blythewood. Your auto, home, life insurance, and business insurance can all be handled by Gary Patterson. Gary spends countless hours helping South Carolinians with all their insurance needs and making a difference in the community. So go check out GaryPatterson.net today, and Gary will go over the best plans for you and your family. That's GaryPatterson.net.
Sponsored by Love Chevrolet. There are lots of places to buy your next ride, but there is no place like Love Chevy, where you never pay more than MSRP, ever. Come by and feel the difference of love. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Find new roads.
Well, since we seem to have run out of commercial billboards for Mike, we can get to the interview. Let's welcome in Mike Morgan. Morgan on the Move. Good evening, sir.
Well, are we done with the stock report, the farm report, the milk report, the planet report, the molecular structure report?
We were just doing all the Mike Morgan advertisements leading into this very expensive segment of the program.
Well, I was enjoying while I was on hold for the top of the hour on, enjoying all the different facets of news updates here on Sports Talk. I learned a lot about the world.
Well, our flagship station, The Point, prides itself on bringing their listeners the latest breaking news around the state of South Carolina and the world. So you don't miss a beat when you're on home. You should be informed. You should always be informed.
True.
Okay.
I know everything
today is Lamont Paris's world today. Lamont Paris's world. Yeah. What'd you think of the day, the news about his contract, and the performance the Gamecocks put on today?
Well, let's start with Lamont. I had started hearing figures on what the contract that was going to be offered was going to be, and I know that that's actually been on the desk of one Lamont Paris for a while. This didn't just happen, you know, in a 24-hour vacuum. I was pretty confident that Lamont would stay. I know a lot of people said, well, how could he turn down Ohio State? They're printing money. You know, there was even talk of Louisville. But I just felt like, first off, I think Lamont knows he's got something special, not just for 1 year, but for long-term in Columbia. I think the community has embraced him. He has embraced the community. Don't sell the Gamecock fan base short on this. Think of all those SEC games in particular where they packed out an 18,000-seat arena. Very few schools can do that. And I also think, quite frankly, there's a little bit of loyalty, dare I say, in a profession now that lacks anything resembling loyalty. When the guy that hired you and believed in you when not many other Power 5, Power 6 programs did, there's respect there that why not stay where you are if you're happy? And I think all that came into play, and I think it's a huge win for Carolina. I think it's a huge win for Lamont Paris. As far as the game itself, pretty much what I expected. I thought they wouldn't have an answer for Murray Boyles. I've seen Arkansas up close, and they have very little post presence. They're not a very physical team, and Murray Boyles just bully-balled them to death to the tune of 24 points. Probably could have had 34 if he really wanted to. A mismatch that Carolina, despite starting off a little slow and sluggish, played outstanding basketball in the second half in particular, and it sets up a great matchup with Auburn.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And, of course, Auburn took him to the woodshed. I think, you know, you lose by 50 like that, and it might not have even been that close. And Auburn's an excellent team, and they're very well coached. They're going to be coming in flying high with a lot of confidence. Going to have a lot more fans here than the Gamecocks will. But what do you think Lamont Paris says to his players overnight? What kind of things do you think he draws up that might work better this time around on a neutral court?
You know, I watched that game, and I'd seen every team in this league, and even the best of the best, have a game like that where I call it the mulligan game. We're just, you know, early on, it's not your night, typically on the road, and it's typically against a good team. And Auburn is a good team, and it was on the road, and Carolina put up a stinker. I do not expect that to happen again. So I don't think, Phil, the message is so much, hey, what do we do differently from an X's and O's standpoint? I think you just do everything better that you're supposed to do. And that's what I expect. I don't think they're going to try and reinvent the wheel. I think they're just going to do what they've been doing all year long, which for the most part has worked to the tune of 26 victories.
But you know, and you're right. You're right about that. But you know, sometimes, no matter what you do, you run up against a team that's just not a good matchup for you for whatever reason, you know, size, speed, et cetera. And you look at some of these Auburn players where the Gamecocks had issues, like Broome, who had 21 points, played out of his mind, hit 4 3-pointers. I don't think Auburn can expect him to hit 4 3-pointers again. He's not a three-point shooter, but that night he was. But Jalen Williams was outstanding. He had 5 3-pointers. He had 23 points. So, I mean, there's just some guys there they had a difficult time matching up with that night. You think that's just a one-off? And they'll find, you know, better matchups and better ways to defend some of these Auburn players?
Yeah, I think some of it is a one-off. I mean, I'll take my chances with Jani Broome shooting threes. But I do think the thing that doesn't change is that Auburn is a deeper team. Auburn's one of the deepest teams in the country. And what they do is they wear you down. You play 10 guys 15 minutes or more. And over the course of a 40-minute game, that can wear you down. The one weakness of this Carolina team, it's not particularly deep. I mean, they play 8-9 guys, but I wouldn't say depth is their strength by any stretch. You've got to play Talon Cooper. You've got to play Murray Boyles now 30-plus minutes if you're going to beat good teams. And so I just wonder, you know, if this game is close early and it's close through 30 minutes, how do those final 10 minutes go? How do they look? How do the final 5 minutes look if Auburn starts playing their frenetic-type pace? They like a little helter-skelter in their game. That favors Auburn. So that would be my biggest question going in.
Mike Morgan, Morgan on the Move here tonight on Sports Talk. And, Mike, we see, I guess, the first casualty of the coaching profession in the SEC today with Jerry Stackhouse losing his job at Vanderbilt. Two-part question for you. First off, where do they go in your mind? And also, heard some stuff earlier today about the possibility that Eric Musselman at Arkansas may actually be in the mix at Louisville. Could you possibly see him leaving Arkansas, which is a tradition-rich program, to try and go clean up the mess that is U of L right now?
Yeah. And it is a mess. I will take the second one first. I have heard the same rumors you have. I have no doubt Louisville will go after Eric Musselman. I have no doubt those conversations have already taken place through back channels, if nothing else. But I just this is just a gut now. It's not like I've talked to Eric Musselman about it. I think he stays because Arkansas can put together any financial package Louisville does. And I just think Arkansas is a better job right now. I really do. I mean, it's easy to think otherwise because they had a bad year. But before that, they had two Sweet 16s and an Elite Eight. And there's a lot of high school basketball talent that comes out of that state, more so than football. There's a passion there for the sport from the fans. There's NIL money. I just think that, you know, this is a classic case of Louisville's big game hunting. And if you're the coach that's coveted, you don't mind being courted. I think every coach deep down likes to be courted. But I'd be surprised if Musselman left. I really would. Unless his family just doesn't like Fayetteville. I don't know that. I don't know that for a fact one way or another. But they seem to have embraced it. Him and his wife are all over the place. They're very social media savvy and are always kind of in the public and very visible. As far as Stackhouse, first of all, I have no idea. I've heard the names. Speaking of Louisville, Chris Mack seems to be a prime candidate there. But I don't know. I mean, the hire of Jerry Stackhouse is one I never understood in the first place. The guy who made that firing Bryce Drew, who's on the verge of making another tournament, one at Vanderbilt now. This would be his second at Grand Canyon if they win the WAC. They fired him after 3 years for him to hire his buddy from the G League. And in 5 years, it obviously didn't work out. I like Jerry, and I don't think he's a terrible X's and O's coach at all. But it just the whole thing seemed odd at the time. It was almost like an experiment in some ways. And I think even though the current AD might have wanted to just keep a pat hand, I think the money people at Vanderbilt finally said enough is enough. Like we may not be able to get good in football anytime soon, but we sure as hell should be good in basketball. 5 years now, no postseasons, and whatever it is, 30 games under 500. So I wasn't shocked that move was made.
Hey, Mike, you know, oftentimes we like to talk about the formula for a club that's going to make a run in the NCAA tournament. Now, oftentimes that has good guard play, veteran guard play, good three-point shooting, good defense against the three-pointer. I don't know how you feel about that. Do you think that's overblown? And whether it is or not, how do you think South Carolina and Clemson fit into those molds about being a good, quote, tournament team?
Well, I will always maintain guard play is still number one. It just, like, even Murray Boyles today, how does he score 24? Well, a lot of it is just pure, like I said, bully ball down low. But who gets on the ball? The guards do. It's angling a pass in to get him in a good position to score. It's finding him on reversals and ball movement, and those are all things generated by guards. The college game doesn't have your 3, 4, and 5 men bringing the ball up the floor and running ISO. That's not what the game is. It's still a guards game, and offensively and defensively, I still think that's the strength of Carolina compared to some of the teams that they'll be facing. So that and defense, you got to be able to score. You can't just defend. But obviously Carolina is not afraid to lock you up. They did that to Arkansas in most of the game. There were a couple of kind of flurries of not so great D, but I like that in both cases for Carolina. But Clemson, I was a little surprised by the loss to Boston College, obviously. But, you know, look, this is – you got veterans on that team that have been in the tournament. They're not going to be shocked or awed by anything. I mean, look, I think both teams, depending on the draw, have a chance to do some damage. But if you're asking me the ingredients, I'll start with guard play. I'll go to a team that can defend. And who doesn't like teams that can hit the three ball? Because very often that's going to win or lose you a game.
Couple more moments with Mike Morgan. Morgan on the move with us here tonight on Sports Talk. Michael Boynton, Mike Boynton, I believe your time at South Carolina crossed paths with him when he was a Gamecock player and Later became an assistant coach at various stops and then head coach at Oklahoma State 7 years, and they've cut him loose, one NCAA tournament appearance for him. But as I mentioned earlier, as you well know, a super, super guy who will land somewhere. Where do you think he might – any idea off the top of your head where he might go, you know, back this way, back up north to his New York roots? Or I'm sure he's a popular guy, at least from the standpoint of being an assistant somewhere.
Yeah, no, I mean, Mike can get either an assistant job somewhere. He could do that tomorrow. Or he could possibly be a head coach at a smaller school. I don't know if Mike is going to get another Power 6 head coaching opportunity right away. I mean, that hire when it was made, and I'm sure Eddie Fogler had something to do with it, you know, it was a little bit out of left field, so to speak. I don't think Oklahoma State, their fan base, kind of saw that coming. It's not as if Mike Boynton was a red-hot name on the coaching circuit. But, you know, I'm a fan of Mike. I know he'll keep coaching. And I think he'd rather stay, quite frankly, in the southern part of the country. I think the New York ties are one thing, but I think he really enjoyed his time in the Palmetto State. So he'll have some opportunities, no doubt about that. And obviously it didn't work out at Oklahoma State, but he's far from done coaching.
Anything else really catch your eye around the country in the tournaments thus far besides, you know, obviously the Clemson loss last night was an eye-opener. Kansas losing to Cincinnati, but they were down a couple of key players, so I don't know if that's astonishing or not. What's caught your eye so far in tournament play?
Well, I think the big story today out of Nashville is I think Mississippi State just secured their berth. I think that's the SEC now has seven teams, and A&M is trying to make it eight if they can, at bare minimum, win this Ole Miss game that I know you're watching. You know, that's the only thing left in doubt. Does the SEC get seven or eight? I think Mississippi State really needed that win. And so that's a win for the conference. No disrespect to LSU and Matt McMahon, who I think is a really good coach. But the conference wanted at least seven, and now they're going to get it. So to me, that's the biggest story of the day coming out of Nashville.
Yeah. Greg Sankey, does he always get what he wants?
Yes.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know about always. I'm sure he would tell you there's some other things that he would. You know what he wants that he hasn't gotten? He hasn't gotten a team in the Final Four. The you know, the SEC, well, I shouldn't say he hasn't because Auburn did make it. And correct me if I'm wrong, Greg Sankey was the AD when South Carolina made it.
I think so.
But, yeah, but there hasn't been a lot of Final Four teams from the league over the last 5 years or so. I think South Carolina's the last one, right? Did that come before or after Auburn? I get my timeline mixed. No, Auburn came right after. I beg your pardon. So there hasn't been anybody since Auburn and Bruce Pearl. So for the last 4 or 5 years, the SEC has really grown as a conference. I've seen it firsthand. But for whatever reason, they have not had great success in the NCAA tournament. So that's what he wants. I think he desperately wants it. And that's the only feather, you know, kind of not in his cap. He wants a national championship in men's basketball for the Southeastern Conference. And that hasn't happened on his watch. It hasn't happened since Kentucky back in 2012. So if you're asking, does he get everything he wants? He'll get that when somebody from the SEC cuts down the nets at the Final Four.
Well, Mike, but correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you think Bruce Pearl's probably done something, we just don't know it yet, that's going to have that Final Four vacated? Don't you think it's going to be pulled eventually?
No, it's not going to be vacated. Now, first off, I'm not a big believer in vacated. In my mind, 2013, Louisville won the national championship. I was here. I saw it with my own two eyes. People can say whatever they want about Rick Pitino. He won a national championship at Kentucky and at Louisville. No matter how many strippers were on the campus. But, no, Auburn won it, and Bruce Pearl is, I know you're being tongue-in-cheek, but he's an outstanding coach.
Okay, Mike, enjoyed it as always. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.
You too, guys. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it, Mike. Mike Morgan on the move.